A very good morning. Good morning, Namibia. And good morning, my dear listener. It's a Saturday morning. Thank you. Thank you, Francina. And if my listeners, please do make sure that you always tune in for the Social Times. And especially today, there was a very important, very good and insightful topic on family trauma. If you didn't, really, if you didn't tune in, you have missed out. You really have missed out. And we're going to continue in the same vein. So make sure that you stay tuned. So let me greet you first properly. Good morning, Namibia. So wherever you find yourself, where are you finding yourself this morning? So you are locked in right here, right now, to the one show that dares to go where most conversation don't. This is Mind Matter, and if your mind matters to you, and it should, then you are exactly where you need to be this morning, right here. So, my name is Mike Oshaveli, and I'm your host, and for the next 2 hours, and these hours we call it Mental Health Hours. This is the time we call Mental Health Hours. So where we invite you to come and have really a real talk. No judgment, just honest, real life changing conversation. This is where it takes place. This is where it happens. So where we focus on, you know, those psychological patterns and social factors that influences how we think, how we feel, and how we make a decision in life. So wherever you find yourself, my dear listeners, whether you're from Katima, Shakati, Lotres, Kietmansop, Walvis Bay, Windhoek, welcome home. You belong here. So this is where you rightly belong. So hopefully you're resting, or if you're not resting, what are you doing? You need to be weekend is for resting, not actually for doing some other heavy work again. And then when you come back on Monday, you are so exhausted that you don't become productive throughout the week. All right. So make sure that you take care of yourself. This is what we're talking about. Love yourself. Make sure that you do things also to take care of yourself. Okay? Things that takes your mind, things that you need to do to take care of yourself emotionally, psychologically, and also physically. Because if you're not well physically, so definitely your mind and emotionally you won't be right as well. So it's all together. And today we're looking at a topic, okay? It's a very, very interesting topic that probably each one of us at one point or another, you know, have gone through this. So our topic is insecurity in a romantic relationship. Now, before you say, this one is not for me, maybe you're not in a relationship or something like that. No, let me ask you something. Have you ever checked your partner's phone? Yeah? Have you ever, you know? Now, I'm not just saying with the intention of I'm checking my partner's phone, maybe I'll find something here. So have you ever done that? Have you ever felt, you know, that your heart races when he or she, you know, maybe laugh a little too long with someone else? Okay, you can see, you know, have your heart races? Have you felt anything when you see your romantic partners actually maybe laughing a little too longer with someone else? Have you ever felt anything? Have you ever felt your heart really races? Okay? So, have you ever stayed quiet about something that hurt you? Now, because you were afraid of what, you know, of what would happen if I spoke up. Now, my dear friend, that is insecurity. That's insecurity that we're talking about. And this morning, you and I, we are going to face it head on. Okay? So we are going to face it head on. And well, stay with me, because this is Mind Matter. That's what we do here. And that's what we're going to do. So make sure that you are here. And as always, this is Mental Health Hours from now until 1 o'clock. We call this Mental Health Hours. If you have any issues that bothering you and you just don't know who to speak to, here I am. Here we are. This is a platform that we have created for you. I'm here for you. I'm a clinical counselor. I'm a psychological counselor. So a social behavior counselor. So, and I'm not promising that I'm going to, you know, you call and we're going to, you know, I'm going to solve your problem. No. So we're going to talk about it, and maybe also identify or look at what are the better options that we can look at. Or if we can't, I would promise, this is one thing I promise you, I will look for somebody. Okay, I will direct you to somebody who might help you. All right, so that's one thing I can definitely promise you right away. All right, so yeah, or you, maybe you know somebody who's going through something and you just don't know how to help. Let's talk about it. Maybe we can find a way how we can do that. Or what we want to do on the show, we want to help you, to help somebody or to help yourself. Live well emotionally, live well psychologically and physically as well. So, all right. So what we do before we get into, you know, before we get into our discussion, let's have a music at least, you know, just to get us in the mood of what we're going to discuss today. We're looking at insecurity in a romantic a relationship. So make sure that you come close. Make sure that you are part of this. You know, because I want to hear your story. I want to hear your stories as well. So maybe not your personal story, but, you know, story from others. Stories, testimonial stories, personal experience are always good lessons for other people as well. Because then we can learn to, we can associate that, a real person is actually going through the same thing as I am. So, and actually manage to overcome this, I can do that as well. I would definitely be able to do that as well. That's why sometimes I give this story of the people that I meet through counseling or through any other social meetings. Yeah, to give you a real, real experience of what we're talking about. So make sure that you're part of this and contribute to make this discussion more richer for someone. Okay? So we will do that. After this after this music break, what gonna we look at? Okay, I haven't heard this song for a while. You know, Callum Scott and Leona Lewis, You Are the Reason.
There goes my heart beating, 'cause you are the reason. I'm losing my sleep. Please come back now.
There goes my mind racing, and you are the reason that I'm still breathing. I'm hopeless now.
I'd climb every mountain, swim every ocean,
just to be with you. And fix what I've broken.
Oh, 'cause I need you to see that you are the reason.
there goes my head shaking, and you are the reason my heart keeps bleeding. I need you now.
If I could turn back the clock, I'd make sure the light defeated the dark. I'd spend every hour of every day keeping you so near. And I'd climb every
Callum Scott and Leona Lewis, you are the reasons. Our time is about 18 minutes past the hour of 11, and I will be with you until 1 o'clock. I will be with you until 1 o'clock when I will be handing over to Tate France, coming with Riyam of the Historic. Riyam of Historic. So coming up at 1 o'clock. Make sure that you tune in for that show as well. So, all right. So what are we talking about this morning? I said we're going to talk about the insecurity in a relationship. I would love you to come through, really. And talk about your experience. There are a couple of things that we're going to talk about. If anything makes sense to you, if that related to your life, you know, come through and add some flesh on it, you know, and maybe also you can as well say, well, that's not true, no, especially when it comes to experience. So there's no such a thing as that's true, is that's not true, because we experience, you know, we have different experience. We experience things differently, okay? Just to make it more richer, more meaningful to someone who actually listening as well. Now, let's get into it. Now, I want to start with this picture, okay? Imagine a woman. Oh, it could be a man, but let's take a woman. Let's call her Grace. Grace is a nice name. So she lives here in Ondangwa. Okay. We're in Ondangwa. We're coming to you from Ondangwa, and we're coming to you live. Make sure that we are live. That's why I want you to participate as well in the show. So she has a good job. She has a good job. A caring partner named, what is the name? David. Okay. So, and by all appearance, you know, beautiful relationship. Now, but every single day, yeah, every single day, Grace wakes up with, you know, that anxious knock in your stomach. You know, she wakes up with that anxious knock in her stomach. You know, she checks David's WhatsApp. She read his text, you know, and that sometime when you're not with a person, you kind of, you know, rehearse an argument. You know, when you look at some of this and you kind of like, what is this? And you kind of already rehearse the argument in your head, And even when that happened yet, so that's not a, that event hasn't happened yet, or what, just from what, just what you see. And sometimes when now she is with him, maybe in a room, she watches his face, you know, watches his face when another woman is walking into the room. You understand? You know? So, and David, you know, David is faithful. David is faithful. David is committed. You know, David loves Grace deeply. He really loves Grace deeply. But Grace can't feel it. You know, for some reason, Grace can't feel it. Now, what is the problem? Why does Grace can't feel it? Why does the Grace can't feel, you know, the faithfulness, the commitment of, you know, the love of David? Because the problem is not David. Okay? The problem is not David. In this case, the problem lives inside Grace. Okay? The problem lives inside Grace. No, we could have taken a guy as well. So it's not specifically that it's a woman thing to say, well, yeah, it's because of women. Okay? No. We could have also taken David as an example. Okay? We could actually flip that as well. So the problem lives inside Grace. And it has a name. And what's the name? The name is insecurity. Now, here is what I want you to understand before we go any further today. Okay? From the very beginning, I want you to understand this. Insecurity is not a character flaw. Okay? It's not something that is within the character of the person. It's not a sign that they are, what is that? They are weak or they are broken. No. Now, I want you to understand this. Insecurity is a signal. All right? It's a signal. What kind of a signal? A signal is a message from your inner self. So even if I'm saying it's a message from your inner self, sometimes we don't understand, we don't know that it's a message coming from our inner self. It's a message from our inner self that something needs attention. It's actually a message telling you there's something that needs your attention. Something from your past. Something from your past that need attention. Something from your experience that need attention. Something that formed long ago before this relationship ever began. Do you understand? It's something within yourself. It's something inside you. But here's the truth. Okay, they said the truth sets you free. Now, this one either sets you free or it will sting a little bit. Okay? Now, this insecurity, as I said, this is a message from inner self. It's something within yourself. Something needs attention. Now, if you leave it unaddressed, unattended, if you leave it unattended, unaddressed, insecurity does not just hurt you. It slowly destroys everything you are trying to protect. Let me say that again. Unaddressed, unattended insecurity destroys the very thing you are trying to protect. Now, sit with that for a moment. Unaddressed insecurity destroys the very thing you are trying to protect. So this morning, what we're going to do, we're going to discuss 10 ways that insecurity actually show up in your romantic life. We're going to look at those insecurity, 10 ways that insecurity show up in your romantic life. And I promise you, by the end of today's show, you will see yourself somewhere in this conversation. Definitely you will see yourself somewhere in this conversation. We all do. Because none of us has escaped the touch of insecurity. At some point, it has definitely touched us. So, yeah. I invite you to come through as well. My dear listeners, I invite you to come through. Come call in with your thought, okay? With your thought as the show progresses as well. So I also want to hear your story. What is your story? Our number is 08-08-333-6091, 08-333-6091. I want you in this conversation. I want you in this conversation. So we'll be back after this quick commercial break.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kabuna imatina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seisa nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma. Honorahe tatu imu, datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. So welcome back. All right, before that commercial, I said we're going to look at 10 ways how insecurity show up in your romantic life. So, and point number one, we're looking at the mother. Point number one is the mother of everything else we will talk about this morning. So this point is the mother of everything we're going to talk about. It's the mother of insecurity, if you like. Now, so the point number one is really low self-esteem. You know what is self-esteem? Do you know what is a self-esteem? So, simply, let's start there. Okay, what is self-esteem? Self-esteem is simply the opinion you hold of yourself. Okay? The opinion you hold of yourself. The story you tell yourself about your value, you know, about your belief, whatever the case may be, or your own worth. Okay? Your own deservingness of love. The story you tell yourself about your own deservingness of love. If there's a word like that in English. Deservingness. So do I deserve this? So that's about self-esteem. So the low self-esteem now is what are your opinion now you hold about yourself? Maybe a negative one. Negative holds. Like, you know, like when you said, maybe I'm not good enough. So something like that. So, and here's what I have seen, okay? Through my years of talking to people, counseling, you know, not just in textbook or not just in case studies, but in a real conversation with real people. Now, for example, okay, as I said, when a person grow up being told they are not good enough, remember those things that we say to people, eshitokurunga he, eh? Okay? Then you happen to be with your father somewhere when you are so stupid. You know, you hear this more. You go to school and you are told you couldn't get this. You're so stupid. You know, and it's only now we're learning that this message actually gets stuck with us. It's only now when the field of psychology becoming more expansive that we start to learn that. But when we grew up, you know, when those were coming much, much, much further down the line, these were things that said, you know, these are things that were said commonly, you know, that you are so stupid. You are told really, really, you are stupid. You couldn't get things right. You know, you are so put down. Or, you are born a little skin, dark skinned, and maybe you have some other your sibling that are white skin, lighter skin, and you tell Uncle to kano kayoko kala ula gefoko foko, you know. Something, you're so dark skinned and you're so diminished in comparison. And this is being said to you. So it's when it's said to you, it's associated with certain action against you. Now, when it's commonly said, when is this becoming more and more? You have been told this, it becomes a value. It's not a good value. But it becomes something you believe. You start to believe that, okay, maybe I'm that ugly. Okay, maybe I'm that stupid. Maybe I'm that not good enough. And this may come from your parent, may come from a teacher, may come from maybe your old partner said. So you carry that message now. Okay, follow me. You carry that message into every relationship you enter. You carry that message. That's why I know we say we're talking about low self-esteem. When you come into this relationship, you already believe that, remember I said, your own deservedness of love. Eh? And sometimes you doubt yourself when someone comes to you and said, well, I want to be my girlfriend. I want to be my man or whatever. Me? Really? You know, because you think, no, I don't deserve, you know, someone like you. I don't deserve to be loved, or maybe not even someone like you. You may even believe that I don't deserve to be loved. I'm so ugly. I'm not good enough. Whatever the case may be. So that is part of your insecurity coming from your past experiences that you picked up throughout your life. And much of these, you know, we have to be very careful how we mold our children. Okay? And molding them is much of what we say to them. Much of the children, when they remember later, it's when they were young. You know, my father used to tell me this. My mother used to do this. My wife. So, from the young age, we're molding up our children into the people we want them to become. But what have we done? We actually created somebody with a low esteem, with a low self-esteem, because of how we're talking to them. And they carry that now. When they get into this relationship, they're carrying that messages in every relationship they enter. So, now, they walk into love with a suitcase full of old wounds. Just think about that. Okay? They walked into love, into this love relationship, with a suitcase. They come with a suitcase full of old wounds. And in that case, in that suitcase is a belief. You know, a belief that I'm not worthy of this person. A belief that they will eventually see the real me, the very broken me, and perhaps leave. Now, imagine if that is the belief now. When they walk into this relationship and they have this, I'm not worthy of this person, and eventually they will find out who I am and then probably leave because I'm not good enough for them. So what do they do? So what, when a person comes this with this suitcase of this old wound into this new relationship, what do they do? So they start behaving in a way that almost guaranteed that outcome. So you know what that outcome? The outcome that eventually they see the real me and leave. So they start behaving in a way that almost guaranteed that outcome. But we get to that later on, okay? So, now let me tell you about this man, okay? Let's call him Elias. I'm thinking of someone now, Elias. Not you, Elias. Elias from Oneshila, okay? Now, Elias grew up watching his father leave. His mother worked three jobs. His mother worked three jobs and barely had the time actually affirming him or being with him. You understand? So at school, he was average. And he grew up now into a man who on the surface when you look at him, you know, when you see him, he looked very confident, okay? So, but inside, he was always waiting to be abandoned. Do you understand? He was always waiting to be abandoned. So, when Elias got into a relationship with a woman, the woman named Napewa, she was everything. Now, she was everything to him. She was his world. She was his wealth. Underline that. She was his wealth. And that was the first problem. Now you're saying, how could, if she's wealth, is the world, you know, how is that a problem? Now, when another human being becomes the source of your self-wealth, listen to me carefully. When another human being becomes the source of your self-wealth, you have handed them a power. You have handed them a power they were never meant to carry. So they were not meant to carry that power. What happened if they are not there? So especially be careful when you said, you know, you are my everything. I can't live without you. You know what you said? These are commands to your subconscious. And you know why it becomes devastating when they are not there? When they are not doing what you think they should be doing? And you're also creating that dependence. If you are my wealth, you know, I would expect everything from you. So that's why I said, you handed them a power they were never meant to carry. But because you look at it this way, because any moment, the moment actually that Bewa had a bad day, for example, and not, let's say, for example, not actually texting back quickly, you started to think Elias' world crumbled. Yeah? Elias' world crumbled. So as Elias told me, his world, because when he texts and the person doesn't text back, you know, started to think many things. So the moment she started laughing with a male colleague, for example, Elias started already to feel that, you know, that tense. You know, your chest start to become tightened. Eh? The moment you say, I'm going out quickly with friends. You know, this, we're not living together. It's not like husband and wife. The moment you say, I think today I may not be able to see you. I'm going out quickly with friends. Do you know what Elias is hearing? I'm finding someone better. So that message to Elias is not, I'm going out quickly with my friend. It's actually, I am finding someone better. And that, my friend, is what low self-esteem look like in a relationship. It looks like a constant fear dressed up as love. From the way the person kind of, it's kind of like this person is showing love. No, it's a fear. It's a constant fear. And he's dressed up like he's dressed up as love. Yeah? So when somebody constantly now, Napewa is gone with friend and Elias is asking all the time, where are you? When, what time are you leaving? When are you coming back? So you said you're coming a big time. You haven't come back yet. So you didn't text me when you said you would. You understand? Is that love? Is that somebody want to know where you are all the time and what any concern? No, it sounds like a person want to know all your time and they are concerned about. No. That's why I said it looked like that's a constant fear dressed up as love. And that's the cause of a low self-esteem, because when you are not here, I believe there's something better that you could get than me. And I'm afraid the more you are there, the more likely that actually happening. Are you following? So, as I said, low self-esteem is the mother of everything that we're going to talk about. You know, and I said we have 10 ways of how insecurity actually make its way in your romantic relationship. One, the first thing is, is low self-esteem. So when you have a low self-esteem, so and think that the person is not, you are not good enough, and all this gonna lead to many other things. Jealousy, maybe that's something that we're gonna talk about now. So when you have a low self-esteem, so jealousy follow naturally. So when you do not believe you are good enough, you become jealous. You become jealous. So a jealousy is not about protecting somebody. It's your insecurity, where you think that you are not good enough. Why? Because of your low of how you see yourself, of how you see your wealth. So it's not like you know, I'm the best. I'm the best there is for you. If you actually go and if you going on, if you go, if you if maybe you're cheating or something like that, it's your loss. You understand? That's a more confidence that when if you do that, if you think that there's something better than I am, well, that's your loss. But a low self-esteem, actually, you don't see yourself as good for that person. And therefore, when they are not with you, so you or do other things, like as I said, when you see that she's actually laughing to her colleague, you're kind of like, you started already to have, to feel, maybe laughing to another man or talking to another man, whatever the case may be. So when you start to feel jealousy, it's because of your low self-esteem, of your low esteem, and you think that, you believe that, you're losing the person because you're not good enough. It's not something about the person themselves. It's about you. So you become jealous. That's the next thing that comes because of, as I said, low self-esteem is the mother of everything that we're going to talk, like jealousy. Jealousy and distrust. And this is a big one. You know, it's a big one in our communities. Okay? Let's be honest. This is a big, 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 big one. That's why we have, you know, people end up killing other people or violating, you know, domestic violence. Where does it come from? It's coming from, remember, the mother of all this, low self-esteem, where you think that you're not good enough. And whenever a person doing something, it's kind of like, okay, I'm losing this person. What do you do? I can't lose you to someone else. No one is going to have you beside me. Now, I have spoken to couples. When you talk about jealousy and distrust, I have spoken to couples, beautiful couples, where one partner is essentially a detective. It's essentially a detective. So checking all the call logs of their partners. Sometimes, even worse, I have someone who actually was, and later on actually became, certainly became different. So driving past the partner's workplace. You see what jealous can do? Driving, you know, coming from, well, it's in the same town anyway, but, you know, it's driving, coming from his own work, go and drive past the partner's workplace just to see if they are there, you know, because, okay, she have a car, just to see if the car is there, still parked. If he doesn't find the car, they probably would ask, where were you at this time? So, cross-examination, friend, you know, you go to friend, have you, you know, were you with the Dapewa or, okay? So where were you guys that time? Cross-examining friends, you know, following on social media, sometimes creating even fake accounts just to see who is messaging. That is not love, guys. That's not love, my people. That is fear with a mask on. Fear with a mask on. And that, and the dangerous thing about jealousy is that it grows. One thing about jealousy is that it grows. It never shrink. Eh? It never shrink. Jealousy never shrink. You satisfy one suspicion, and the mind manufacture another, and another, and another. You know? That's how it works with jealousy. Once I had a client, okay? I will protect his identity. Who told me, I know I am wrong. Said, I know I am wrong, but I can't stop. Even when he proves me wrong, something in me just shift the target, okay? That is not, and you know what? That's not a relationship problem. That is an internal problem. It's not a relationship problem. It's an internal problem, and it requires an internal solution. Yeah? It requires an internal solution. Sometimes relationship problems have nothing to do with the problem itself. It has to do with you. Yeah? It's an internal one, and it requires internal solution. But if you haven't recognized that, how would you actually deal with that? And we have the jealous cousin. You know, do you know the cousin of jealous? Distrust. The jealous cousin is distrust. Now, so those two walk hand in hand, you know? They walk hand in hand. And distrust poison everything. Eh? Distrust poison everything. It poisons communication. It poisons intimacy. It poisons even the good moment. So it's honestly, it poisons everything. Because you're always waiting for the, you know, for the other shoe to drop. You're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And here's the cruel irony, okay? The cruel irony is that the more you distrust someone, the more you push them away. Okay? The more you distrust someone, the more you push them away. And the more they pull away, the more your fear is actually confirmed. You understand? And the more they pull away, the more your fear is confirmed, because that's what you're afraid they will leave anyway. But because that's what you do in your behavior, that's what you're creating. So it's kind of like a self-fulfillment prophecy. The more that is become, the more your fear is becoming confirmed. Jealousy, then controlling behavior, you know, which creating isolation and kind of some monitoring. Yeah? So it then move, you know, it's actually then confirm your fear. So I want to ask you, my dear listener, okay? And be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Have you ever been, have you been the jealous partner? You are not with anybody. You don't need to say to anybody, but just examine yourself. Have you been the jealous partner? Or have you been on the receiving end of someone's jealousy? Have you been on the receiving end of someone's jealousy? This is what I said at the very beginning. We want to share our experience. So you're most welcome to come through. Call in, okay? Give me a call. Give me a call right now. And share your experience. Have you ever dealt with jealousy in your relationship? How did it make you feel? How did you deal with? And how, you know, how did it went? 0833-66-091. 0833-66-091. All right. Maybe we deserve to have another music break. Okay? So, now, while I'm waiting for you, I will be waiting for you on the other side. Okay, I'm waiting for you on the other side. Okay, I'm going to look at what I haven't heard for a while. I think you will love, if something I haven't heard it for a while, you probably, yeah, would love it as well. Okay, let's Yeah, let's get Shaggy, The Strength of a Woman, okay? The Strength of one of my favorite.
Strong women.
That goes to the strong woman.
So amazing how this world was made. I wonder if God is a woman. The gift of life astounds me to this day. I give it up for the woman. She's the constant wind that fills my sail. Oh, that woman.
That's a woman.
With a smile and a star, she'll protect you like a child. That's a
that's
woman.
A woman.
She'll put a smile upon your face and take you to the
higher place. All right.
Woke up this morning. I got up with a scent of a woman. Just picture if you would what life would be. Ain't much good without a woman. She can nag and be a constant pain. Oh, that's woman. But those hips, she's got me whipped, and it's just too hard to resist. What a woman. Ah, hey, she'll put a smile upon.
All right. One of my favorite one, and you should have been in the studio. It's one of the song that just, you know, take me out of my seat and jump around, and you know. So the other part I was singing where you don't hear, oh, you were hearing it. Oh, man, I was on air all the time. All right, all right. You know, Strength of a Woman by Shaggy. One of my really, really favorite songs. Okay, so welcome. Our time is about 55 minutes past the hour of 11. Well, I've been waiting for you. So we're talking about, you know, the insecurity. We are discussing insecurity in a romantic relationship. All right? So, and we have covered low self-esteem, as the mother of everything, you know, low self-esteem and jealousy. And now let's just talk about something that quietly kills more relationship than argument ever could, actually. And you know what that is? That's our talking point. Our point three is communication issue. And I'm talking about silence. Talking about silence, let's get a caller. Got a caller? Very good morning. Welcome to Mind Matters.
Morning, Dr. Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Fine, thank you.
How is your Saturday so far?
Saturday. Sometimes it's boring, sometimes it's... So it's good that we listen to the program.
Well, that's a good thing to hear, man.
You are also playing some music that can be more comforting.
Yeah,
I think that balances the situation.
That's good.
Yeah. So now the insecurity.
Yeah.
How does it really come? Does it come because people don't trust each other, or maybe they see some manifestation of behaviors that might not be appropriate? Because I know sometimes, because the moment that trust, that confident, you really have faith and the trust in a person.
Yeah.
That is, for example, I say it, my wife or my partner.
Yeah.
And I know for sure there's nothing like cheating. There's nothing like, you know. Because all those things should have been shouted out.
Yeah.
All those kind of thoughts of suspicious. I know the suspicion is also somehow, it's also, I think the Bible also doesn't support that.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
You are so suspicious of, you know, because somebody can be innocent, you know, in your relationship. But the moment there's some kind of suspicious and all these other things, why are you not picking up the telephone? Because some people say, no, this one, just I'm just running English.
Yeah.
You are able to pick up the telephone. Because communication is also very important.
Yeah, that's the point I was going to. But you asked the question, where does this come from? Where does insecurity come from? At the beginning, I was mentioning something like, let's say, for example, and Oshima tunokukotokera sometime when we're talking to our children. You know, Oshima,
she... when we're giving grace to something.
Exactly. When we started, especially our age, I'm not that old, but I'm old enough. Pefimborinya, otodrukombogucho, and kind of kalaikunlaitu. You know, you're so stupid. So you have been called that, and actually, over a time, if it has been said to you, it becomes a value. Not a good value, but it's something you start to believe that is true because it has been said to you over and over, maybe not one person. Now, what does it make you? It makes you now think that I'm not actually beautiful compared to someone who is actually light-skinned. You know, so now when someone approach you, maybe when it's a woman, let's say for example, a woman, a man approach her, they kind of like, really, you want me? You know, no, I'm not good enough for you. So when they feel they're not good enough for you, now when they're in the relationship and they thinking that you are not there, they thinking that you are seeing some better people. You see, that's how now the insecurity start, and it's coming from your past. They think that they are seeing some other people. There could be truth that this person is cheating, and that's a different story. But we're talking now in terms of insecurity. Yeah, where this is not happening. You know, it's only within you. And when the person is not there, you're thinking, oh, maybe it was because they are not here. They are actually seeing other people who are better than I am, you know. And then that create now a problem in a relationship. Then you started to go, where were you? What were you doing? With whom? I called, you didn't reply. You know, you see? But it's your own insecurity. It has nothing to do with the other person's doing.
Yeah, but when you come to that extent,
diminishing
somebody's personality or the, because of the dark and dark, maybe so dark.
Yeah.
And maybe you are just, you know, just for nothing. You know, like they say, you know, you are just a man of nothing.
Mm.
Because, you know, women usually use that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Even though men also do that. But yeah. That one, I think, that one is a different thing. Because that might not say, to me, it can create insecurity, but maybe that is, might not even be insecurity, because that is some kind of, that is not a, that's a vulgar language.
Yeah.
Because you are actually trying to make that person so, what is it? I don't know how to, I'm trying to.
Yeah, no, no, no. It's not the other person who's saying something to the person. The person who's receiving the message, over time, if this is said to them, they start to believe that is true. You know, if nobody taught them better, they start to believe that they are really, because they are dark skinned, they are not beautiful. And that gives them a low self-esteem. They start to actually have a self-esteem.
That low self-esteem.
Yeah.
That's the way that I was looking for. But then, because that one is derogative.
Yeah.
So, because you cannot call somebody those kind of names.
Yeah.
Or label them like that, because that's not their character.
Yeah.
But I know who the person now, whom the things are being said to, you should be able to have that confidence in yourself and tell yourself that no, I'm not like that.
Yeah.
That woman in the Bible who was in, what is her name again, she was called, because that is how it is. Then she has to change. She say, no, I'm not like that. And she changed her destiny. So it's the same apply to us. So if somebody is calling you for, you are just then meant for nothing or whatever, a girl, you are not beautiful and things like that.
Yeah.
Say to yourself that you are beautiful. You are even better than those ones that are still being compared to you, carnal comparison to you.
Yeah.
So you speak to yourself and say, no, I am not a failure. I'm not a, you know, I'm a successful pay woman or man. I'm a boy of dignity, you know, all these kind of things. So once you speak yourself this kind of language, and then you might not even, somebody say you are nothing, you prove to them that's wrong, you know, that you, that's not how you are.
Which we're supposed to do, but some people may not actually see that perspective, may not actually expose to that perspective, and they drown themselves in that, in that insecurity, in that low self-esteem, looking at, and that developed jealousy. You know, that's how the jealousy developed, and people started actually using, you know, abusing other people. You know, so, and even people, think of the person who is jealousy. So he's jealousy because he thinks that, you know, the other person is actually on themselves, is that they are not good enough. And because they are not good enough, so if they are not, if the other person is not with them, they might be with somebody else. When they see them talking to somebody, they see things that they are not there sometimes because of their own self-confidence. Because of their self-confidence, they see things that are not there. And then that's how they started actually now abusing other people. You understand?
Okay.
Yeah. So let me tell you this, how certain things become powerful in our mind. If I tell you now that, okay, which, even if it's not true, and I tell you that, oh, your wife is actually cheating on you. Okay. So that's a power of suggestion. I'm saying that to you. It's maybe it's not even true. Now that power of suggestion become powerful in your head. Now you started to see, if you see your wife now coming home and she pick up the phone and maybe go to her room, then that becomes actually evident. You see, she's actually now to the room. Your suspicion of what the power of suggestion that has been suggested to you, now whenever you see a little things, it's kind of like making up now the truth, the evidence of what you have been told. You understand? And sometimes we have things that we grew up seeing become our kind of evidence when we see it in other people. And that's why the person who have been abandoned, they kind of like look at woman who doesn't, where were you? Eh? Maybe the woman wants to leave me. So you're not kapu now itoka itoi kumweli shapoi kudi bike. You understand? Eh?
Oh, that one is an extreme.
Yeah. So and yeah, that's why we have people killing other people, you know, unknifing other people. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I got you, my brother. Thank
yeah.
you very much
yeah.
for the opportunity.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming through.
Good.
Mm.
Yeah, that's insecurity. And what it can do, what we're trying to do here is really looking at yourself. It's looking at yourself. Is this happening to me? So, sometime I try to give you those examples. Is that me? All right. Is that me? And, how are we going to deal with that? We're going to look at some of those. Okay. So one of the things, as I said, I'm also talking about that. Now, as what we look at, we covered low self-esteem and we also covered jealousy. And one thing I said that actually quickly kills more relationship than argument or anything else is actually communication issues. And today I just want to look at silence. Now, there is a silence. There's a specific kind of silence I'm talking about. Okay. And it's not the peaceful silence of two people comfortable with each other. Okay? You are silent there. We're peaceful with each other. No. I'm talking about the loaded silence. You know? The loaded silence. Especially with someone with insecurity. So the kind where you have something important to say, but you swallow it. You push it down. You smile and say, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. When you are absolutely not fine. Right? Have you seen when you see that the person is not fine and you ask, are you fine? And the person tells you, yeah, no, I'm fine. When you know for sure that they're not fine. So why do insecure people go quiet when they should speak out? So it's because they're afraid. Now, what are they afraid, really? It's because they're afraid that if they say, that hurts me, for example, if you speak out that hurts me, they're afraid that their partner will say, well, you are too sensitive and maybe leave. You understand? They're afraid that if you say, let's say, I need more from you. So they're afraid that their partner will say, you are too much. You are so much. You are too much. And probably leave them. You understand? That's the fear. So they choose silence over risk. They're kind of like choosing silence over risk because they don't want to risk the relationship. But silence in a relationship is a slow poison. I always say silence in a relationship is a slow poison. Every unspoken truth becomes a brick. Okay, hear me right. Every unspoken truth, if something is, for example, that is hurting you and you're not saying it, and you're not saying it, it becomes a brick. As I said, it's a slow poison. And every unspoken truth becomes a brick. And one day, you have a wall. You keep building that in silence. And neither of you can see you in the future. At one point and one day, you will have a wall and neither of you can see each other anymore. Because each one of you have you build wall. Slowly by slowly, you're building that wall. The unspoken truth becomes a brick. All right? I remember hearing about a couple, okay, married 7 years, who went to counseling and discovered they had both been unhappy, both have been unhappy for 3 years. 3 years. And neither had said a word. Eh? Neither of them have said a word. So both were afraid. Both were insecure. Both were protecting their relationship by destroying it, actually. Eh? Namibia, we got to talk. Eh? We got to speak. We had to find a way to speak. Communication. Okay? Sometimes it became like a cliche when people talk about, you know, a relation is about communication. It's communication. All right? Let's go to number four, to point four. This one is sensitive, but we must go there, okay? Over-dependence. When you are insecure, you make your partner your entire emotional universe, okay? They become your therapist, your best friend, your validation machine, your confident booster, all at once. Yeah? They become everything to you all at once. So, and someone said, look, what I want to say is that that is an unbearable weight to place on another human being. Believe me. Okay? And I always say this to my client. Okay, I always say this. A relationship is meant to be a garden you both tend together. A relationship is like a garden. You nurture that together. It's not a rescue mission. You know, a relationship shouldn't be a rescue mission. A rescue mission when one person saves the other every day. Okay? That's not what it is. It's a garden you both tend, you both nurture. Okay? You don't get into, it's not a rescue mission. It shouldn't be a rescue mission. Think about that. No, think about it. If every morning you need your partner to tell you that you are beautiful before you believe it, yeah, that is dependency, not love. You understand? So if you cannot make a decision without their approval, that is dependency. If their mood, and this is a good one, if their mood determines your mood, that is dependency. And what happened to the partner on the other end? Who have to do all this? Who is on the rescue mission for you? For you, they get tired. They get tired not because they do not love you. Make a difference. It's not because they do not love you. It's because no human being can be everything to another person. That's simply too much. No human being can be everything to another person. Well, I know a guy, okay, here for our sake, let's call him Thomas, his girlfriend Rina. Nina needed constant reassurance. Every day, multiple times a day. Now, do you still love me? Have you heard that? Do you still love me? And something that a person asked yesterday, tomorrow, ask the same thing. Do you still love me? Are you sure you want to be with me? Have you heard that? It could be a woman, it could be a man. Am I good? Am I really good enough for you? Yeah? Well, at first, Thomas thought, well, that's sweet. Yeah? So he liked feeling needed, you know, at first. But after 2 years, he felt exhausted. So, of course, he loved Rina. He did love Rina. He actually loved Rina. But now he was drowning in her need. And this is something, whether you're a man or a woman, you need to be very careful of. So now he was drowning in her needs. And slowly, he began to pull back. And that moment he pulled back, now Rina's worst fear came alive. Eh? Her worst fear came alive. She pushes him away with the every behavior she thought would actually keep him close. You see that? That's what insecurity does. It chases away the love it is desperately to hold. Eh? It is desperate to hold. Now, my friend, my dear friend, my dear listener, if you see yourself in Rina's story, please hear me, okay? You deserve to feel secure. But that security must be built inside you first. It must be built inside you first. Your partner can complement your confidence. They cannot create it, all right? They can complement it, but they cannot create it. You have to create it. It has to be built inside you first. All right? You following? Now, we're looking at 10 ways how insecurity actually make its way into your romantic relationship. Right? We're half through. We're almost half through the day already, today's discussion. So, and I want to dial up the energy a little bit, okay? Now, because the next 2 points, these are the ones that people talk to me about. This is what people talk to me about most, okay? Now, these are the ones that keep couples, that keeps couples up at 12 o'clock arguing about things that started as nothing. In most cases, things that started as nothing. Now, escalating a conflict, okay? You know what insecurity does to your nervous system, okay? Let's get there as well. Your nervous system, it put it on high alert all the time. So when your partner say something slightly off, when your nervous system is really on high alert, and when you are insecure, you all the time on high alert. Your nervous system is always on the high alert. And when a person says something, you remember the example I've given of someone suspicious of being cheating. So now every move you see, now you are on alert that every move you see is supporting that. That behavior or that power of suggestion, that what suggested, your mind become focused on that. It's exactly the same thing, you know. So when you are insecure, your nervous system is always it's put on high alert now. So when your partner says something, even if it's just slightly off, even if they meant no harm, your insecure mind does not actually hear a comment. It hears a threat. Yeah? It hears a threat. It hears evidence. Okay? Evidence for everything you fear. Everything evident for everything you fear will become or will has been or fear that it has been whispered to you. Yeah? A small thing becomes a big thing. Misunderstanding becomes a full-blown argument. Yeah? An innocent question becomes an interrogation. So, and you know what? The fight are really about what they appear to be about. Seriously, when you're with the couples, you know, the fight are really about what they appear to be. When a woman scream, let me just give an example. If it's come out clear. So when a woman scream at her partner coming, let's say for example, coming 30 minutes late. Now, she's not really fighting about 30 minutes. Follow me. She's not fighting about 30 minutes. She is fighting about the terrifying fear. Do you know what this terrifying fear? That you don't value me. That's what she's fighting about. Not the 30 minutes. And when a man goes, you know, so let's say, for example, a woman is going out. A man goes cold and silent about his partner dressed nicely to go out. Really dressed nicely to go out. He's not really upset about the dress. He's fighting with the voice in his head that says, someone will take her from me. Do you understand? So the underlying, sometimes, as I said, is not what they appear to be. The fight are really about what they appear to be. They are underlying issue within the person itself because of insecurity. So insecurity amplifies everything. Eh? It blow out, it balloon everything. So in our communities, I have seen this play out in in a very devastating ways. And many of you know this. Couple argue couple argument that actually escalate to the point of violence. And when you trace it back, threat by threat, really, it began. Where does it begin? It began with our wound. It began with a wound. And that wound is insecurity. And unhealed fear. Sometimes we tend to think these people are evil. People are not evil. The person is not evil. The person is a hurting, actually it's a hurting person who never learned to manage their emotional response. These are persons who never learn to manage their emotional response. And I must be clear here, okay? That does not excuse the destructive behavior, okay? It doesn't excuse that destructive behavior. But it explains where it comes from. And in the way we're talking about it now, in understanding it, is the first step actually to changing. This is the first step to changing. So, yeah. So when you understand that, as I said, and remember this, when these are not really evil persons, from our psychological point of view, this is not evil person. It's a person really who never learned to manage their emotional response. Simply that. If they would have learned it. And sometimes that comes with the experience you have went through. That's all what you know. That's all what you know. And you can't give what you don't have. All right? So, yeah. Our point six, this is the one that really blows my mind every single time. Okay? In a way that insecure people often create the very outcome they fear most. You know, they create the very outcome they fear most. Let me say that again. They create with their own action the thing they are most terrified of. And this is about self-fulfilling prophecy. Okay? Now, how do they create, now with their own action, the things that they are most terrified of? So you fear, let's say for example, you fear abandonment. So what do you do? When you fear abandonment, what do you do? You are afraid of being abandoned. It could be something that happened from one relation to another. Men always leave you, or women always leave you, or whatever the case may be. You fear abandonment. That become as a part of insecurity now, you fear abandonment. So you clink. You become needy. Okay? You clink, you become needy. You call 20 times a day. Yeah? You call 20 times a day. You create scene in public. You criticize. You nitpick to keep control. You suffocate the relationship. You see? Now, your partner now start feeling trapped. They start feeling trapped. They start pulling away. And you say, you see? And you say, you see, I knew it. I knew it. I knew they would leave. I knew I was not good enough for them or for him or for her. Yeah? But you suffocate the relationship with the way how you want to handle this based on your fear of, for example, abandonment. There could be other issues. Each one, individual of us have our own issue. This is just an example. But here's the truth, okay? So here's the truth. Your partner left, not because you were not good enough. They left because their relationship became a cage. The relationship became a cage, and believe me, no healthy person stays in a cage willingly. Seriously, no healthy person man or woman, stay in the cage willingly. So, and I want you to think about someone, okay? I want to think about someone you know, or maybe yourself, you know, who has repeated the same relationship partner over and over. Different partner, same ending. Now, that's not bad luck. I don't believe in that. That's not bad luck. That is a script. You know what's a script? It's a script, a deeply embedded script written by your insecurity. And the only way to change the ending is to rewrite that script. Now, have you ever felt like you were your own worst enemy in a relationship? Have you ever felt that you were your own worst enemy in a relationship? Now, I want to hear that. I want to hear from you. Telephone number 08333-66091. We're coming to you live from Ondango Studio. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. All right. Music, it's part of the show. It's absolutely part of the show. So let me go. I'm going for music that I haven't heard for a while, in a long time. Let's get Michael Bolton. When a Man Loves a Woman.
Good things found. If she is bad, he can't see it. She can do no wrong. Turn his back on his best friend, he puts her down.
All right, that's Michael Bolton, When a Man Loves a Woman. So welcome back. Welcome back. And yep, our time is 32 minutes. We still have about 28 minutes to go. Yeah, so welcome back. Welcome back. And if you are still with me, thank you, because this next part, this is where I think we get really to get really into this now, okay? Get it really honest. Now, let's talk about what insecurity does to your mind, okay? To your body, to your very spirit. Now, we're talking about, as I said, we have 10 points. Looking at 10 points, how insecurity make a way into your romantic life. And chronic insecurity is very exhausting. I mean, physically, bodily exhausting. Now, imagine, I always give this example, you know, imagine carrying a backpack full of rock everywhere you go. Remember, I said you have a suitcase, and this suitcase is full of wounds. Wounds that are coming from your past experience, from, you know. So you have this backpack full of rocks everywhere you go. So it doesn't matter where you are, whether it's in the house, at work, whether you're going to bed, you know, to bed, even in your sleep. Even in your sleep. And that's what anxiety feels like. Eh? And insecurity in a relationship feeds anxiety like a firewood feeds a flame. Eh? You know, that the constant monitoring, the endless what if, the replaying of conversations. Sometimes you just replay the conversations. Did they mean that? Was that tone off? Why did they got quiet? Oh, your brain never rests. Your brain never rests. And I have spoken to individuals who told me they cannot sleep. They lie awake scrolling through their partner's oiled message, looking for clue of betrayal. And sometimes looking now for betrayal that do not actually exist. They cannot eat properly. They lose weight, or they overeat. And they lose focus at work. Their performance drops, you know. And talking about depression creeps in when anxiety has run down long enough. So when the constant fight or flight, you know, finally exhausts you into some kind of numbness where you really exhausted. Now, here's something important I want to say to everyone of you listening now. So mental health is really real. All right? Mental health is real. The suffering that comes from an insecurity relationship is real. You are not dramatic. You are not being weak. You are a human being in pain. All right? You are a human being in pain. And pain demands attention. And there's one thing that I want also to say. So we must stop telling people to just pray. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Stop telling people just pray or just be strong. Yeah? And then walk away. Yeah? Sometimes people need more than a prayer. They need a conversation with a professional. I think that's nothing to be ashamed of. Yes, encourage people to pray. That's not what I'm saying. Say people shouldn't pray. Encourage people to pray. It's good for their mind as well. So, but don't just walk away. Just pray or just be strong and you walk away. No. Encourage people to see professionals. You may save the life of that person. And if this discussion is really resonating with you on a deeper level, please reach out. Talk to someone, pastor, a counselor, psychologist, trusted friend, doesn't matter. Do not carry it alone. That's what I'm saying. Don't carry it alone. So we lost so many people because of that. We lost so many people who because they carried this on their own and they have no one to talk to, that we lost them. Talk to someone. All right? Now, let's get to our point number eight. I think this one also breaks my heart. When you are insecure in a relationship, you slowly begin to cut off the world. All right? You begin to cut off the world. You stop seeing your friend. You skip maybe family events. You know, you pull away from your social circle because you're afraid. Afraid that your partner will meet someone better in that circle. Afraid that time apart means opportunity for betrayal, you know. Or sometimes your partner's jealousy forces that isolation on you. It could be that because of your partner's jealousy. Either way, the result is the same. The result is the same. You shrink your world to the size of one person. To the size of one person. And when that person is not doing well, your entire world falls apart. I met this woman who, 5 years into a relationship, had no friends left. No one to call, no one to sit with when things were falling apart. Because they had slowly been isolated. Or had isolated themselves, you never know. So, out of insecurity. So, your friendship are not threat to your relationship. They shouldn't be. They are support to your sanity. Understand that. They are support to your sanity. A healthy partner celebrate your friendships. They do not compete with them. They celebrate that friendship. If you have lost your social world because of your relationship, I think that should be, please hear me now. Really hear me now. That is a serious warning sign. You deserve connection beyond your partner's arms. You do. And when someone is really, maybe because of their jealousy, forces you not to have friends, not to have social world, you know, a social circle, then definitely that's a serious warning sign. Maybe for you also to contribute, come in through as well. Has insecurity ever caused you to lose friendship or feel isolated? Share your story. I want to hear your story. The line is open. Our line is 08333 66091. Has insecurity ever caused you to lose friendship or feel isolated? I want to hear your story. All right? So, yeah. And as we are heading into the home stretch now, of today's discussion. But first, let us talk about what insecure people do when the emotional weight becomes too heavy. So, and that's our point number 9, unhealthy coping mechanisms. Now, when you are drowning in when you are drowning in insecurity and anxiety, you have not found health ways to process it. Now, the human mind finds shortcuts. If you haven't found health ways to process that, your human mind actually finds a shortcut, and sometimes dangerous one. Some people drink, okay? Some people start drinking, they reach for the bottle because the alcohol will numb, you know, the noise. They will numb the noise. The alcohol will numb that noise. And here in Namibia, we know the devastating that alcohol causes in our communities and in our relationship. One of the worst, one of number one causes of, you know, of violence in a relationship, okay? And more often than not, behind the drinking is a person in deep emotional pain. Remember that. Sometimes started, people want to be, you know, used to drinking alcohol for, you know, to numb their noise, to numb the noise within, inside them, whatever that noise is, until it becomes a habit, until the person become alcoholic. So that's why I'm telling you that behind the drinking is a person in deep emotional pain. Well, we have those. We also have people, people who eat compulsively. Food becomes comfort when life feels unpredictable. Yeah? So some people withdraw into their phones. Yeah? There are those who withdraw into their phone, not because they are connecting with the world, just because the digital world is an escape from the real one. Yeah? Some people become reckless. They chase thrills, you know, self-sabotage. They self-sabotage. They cut themselves off emotionally and become cold, because cold feels safer than vulnerable. And understand this, okay? When we talk about like this, these are not bad people. These are wounded people who never learn better tools. Wounded people who never learned better tools. And I say this with an absolute, absolute love and zero judgment, that a coping mechanism that harms you is not a solution. A coping mechanism that harms you is not a solution. It is a delay. It's a delay for something that is inevitable. It pushes the pain deeper. And deeper pain costs more, they cost more to heal. The more it pushes it deeper, deeper, and deeper, the more it's going to cost you more to heal. Now, if you recognize this pattern in yourself, that is the first step. It's actually the first step. And awareness is the first step. Being aware, you know, is the first step. So do not be, you know, do not shame yourself, okay? Do not shame yourself. Instead, say, I'm using this because I'm in pain. If you acknowledge that, you know, I'm using this because I'm in pain, you actually have that awareness. And I deserve to address the actual pain. So if you are in that position, you are in a position of awareness and be able to deal with what is going on with you. And then finally, with our 10 point, the destination that all this unaddressed insecurity lead to, if you haven't addressed now this insecurity, it lead to what? It lead to a relation dissatisfaction. That's where it's going. That's where it's heading. After months, sometimes years, you know, of jealousy, controlling behavior, escalating fight that we talk about, emotional exhaustion, and isolations, all those, both partner arrive to the same place. Do you know what that place is? Emptiness. They arrive to that place that is emptiness. So the relationship that was supposed to be a source of joy becomes a source of anxiety. You walk on eggshells. You stop looking forward to coming home. Yeah? Sometimes you just come, you go from work, you go to a certain bar. I know some guy was my neighbor who, you know, that side of Fat Boys, you know, when the person comes from, you know, from work, he just end up at Fat Boys. And only come from there, you go home, only to go and sleep. You stop looking forward to come home. And you start living parallel lives under the same roof. Okay? The intimacy fades. The laughter disappeared. And one day, it simply ends. It simply ends. Not with a bang, but with a quiet, tired goodbye. And the heartbreaking thing, in most of these cases, both people wanted it to work. Both people loved each other. But insecurity that we're talking about, insecurity, unchecked, unattended to, or unaddressed, unnamed, because sometimes we might not even know that we are insecure, dismantle it brick by brick. And I'm telling you, this, it doesn't have to be that way. So this, it doesn't have to be your story. That should not be your story. So when we come back, so we're going to look at the solutions. Okay? So we're going to look at the solution, because I believe that shouldn't be your story. All right. So, yeah, let's get back to music again. Let's get back to the music again. Who else that I haven't had for a while? Actually looking for my favorite one. Ah, no, not that one. Okay, let's get to Shania Twain. When You Kiss Me. Okay, that's one song I haven't heard also. Okay, let's get to the caller first.
Good afternoon. What is the time? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, mate. I'm Bert. You mentioned some of the elements. These emotional intelligence issues.
Yeah.
Where you mention about self-awareness and self-regulations and things like that.
Yeah.
That, yes, sometimes when you are aware of your emotions, the consequences of your emotion and your action, and the way your moods really plays part in within you, then if you are aware of that, maybe let's say now the consequences of it, the negative effects of it on yourself, and you know very well that if you act in those manners, so the other person also feels so bad.
Yeah.
So the moment you are aware of your emotional impulse, then you are able to restrain.
Yeah.
Even when you are getting, say, for example, getting irritated or annoyed, you know, so you not also able to apply some of those effects to somebody, or your behavior, your actions.
Yeah.
So you're not able to regulate your moods, even though sometimes it's difficult, the way you feel, you know,
Yeah.
And then, you know,
I think you're making a very good point, because the whole thing is that when you are self-aware, as you're saying, is that if I do this, you know, what will be the consequences of that? So you, it's kind of like you think through this before you act, because you kind of anticipate the consequences, and because of that knowledge, you then regulate what you're going through, your emotions.
That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm explaining. So, but it's very important that unless the creation, awareness creation is really that critical one created, so that we can be aware and understand and regulate our emotion.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and also motivate ourselves and say, ah, no, listen to those things. So that particular person, and otherwise, like you were telling us the other time, that yes, we harm ourselves by holding even some grudges or even some kind of thoughts that are very negative. So, and maybe that person is just enjoying his life or her life. For us here, we are here boiling, you know, that kind of a life.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
It's very dangerous. Why need you to commit some kind of, you know, display some violent behaviors and things like that?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you very much for coming again, okay?
Yes.
All right, let's go to Shania Twain, and we'll be back.
This could be it. I think I'm in love. It's love this time. It just seems to fit. I think I'm in love. Took the weight of the world off my shoulders.
The world just goes away.
Oh, when you kiss me, I know you miss me. And when you're with me, the world just goes away. The way you hold me, the way you show me that you.
Shania Twain, the way you kiss me, I know you miss me. Shania Twain, when you kiss me.
That you adore me, oh, when you kiss me.
All right, welcome back. And our time is about... that's about 56 minutes past the hour of 12, and we're coming to at the end of our discussion this morning. And I don't want to close. You know, I want to close today's discussion on, not with a list of problems like what I was doing, but with a message of hope. Eh? Because I genuinely believe in this. Okay? I genuinely believe in this. So insecurity. It's not a life sentence, okay? It's a wound. Oshipute, okay? And wounds, when treated properly, it heals, okay? So when it's treated properly, it heals. So So what do you do and where do you begin? Okay, so what do you do and where do you begin? Let's first get yourself, get honest with yourself. Okay, stop defending patterns. Stop saying, oh, that's the way how I am. That's just how I am. Because how you are right now is not who you have to be forever. Okay? It's not how you have to be forever. Sit quietly now. If you can, well, if you're driving, that's another story. Ask yourself, where does my insecurity come from? Where does my insecurity come from? What am I really, really afraid of? You know, that honesty is the beginning of freedom. Okay? So, now, the second thing is that do the inner work. You know, your worth is not determined by your partner's attention. Your worth is not determined by your partner's attention. Your value does not depend on another human being's validation, for example. You exist before this relationship. You exist as a person, as an individual, before this relationship. So you were valuable before they came along. Build that belief. Yeah? Speak to yourself kindly. Challenge the negative voices that coming that are in you. Now, if you grew up hearing you're not good enough, it's time maybe to start telling yourself a different story. And it will feel strange. I think it will feel strange at first because you're not used to that. But keep going. Keep going. Okay? Start telling yourself a different story. You are good enough. Okay? Now, learn to speak. That's also one thing. Learn to speak even if it is scary. Okay? I know it could be very scary. Learn to speak. Start small. That comment hurt me. Three words. That comment hurt me. That's it. Practice the vulnerability of honesty. Okay? Because a relationship built on silence is built on scent. It's really built on scent. Once you start to squeeze it, it moves away. It moves away. Now, invest in your life outside the relationship as well. So keep your friendship, pursue your interest, have goals that are purely yours and yours alone. Be a whole person. Because a relationship between two whole people is infinitely healthier than one whole person holding up someone else who has collapsed into neediness. So, build up yourself. Be a whole person. Be a whole person. When you get into a relationship, you are a whole person. Not some kind of a person that, you know, as I said, collapse into neediness. You don't want to become a burden. Okay? And the other thing is that seek help. All right? I want to say this plainly. Seek help. There is no shame in sitting across from a counselor and saying, I'm struggling and I need tools. I need help. And understand this, that therapy is not for broken people. It is for people who are brave enough to choose healing over pride. And we have counselor here in Namibia. We have churches with pastoral care. We have community with health workers, organizations that support mental health. Use them. Use those. All right? If you need help, call Eagle FM and ask for Mike. Okay? Mike Oshaveli, ask for my number, 081. Let me give it to you, 081. If you need help, 081-854-8569. And to the partners of insecure people, for example, hear me too. Your love cannot fix deep wound. Your love cannot actually fix deep wound. You can be supportive, patient, and kind, but you cannot become, or you cannot be someone's therapist and their partner at the same time. So what you need to do is to encourage healing. Set health boundaries, you know, and take care of your own emotional health too. You also need to take care of your own emotional health. This is to allow you, you know, to have a really healthy relationship. And I want to leave you with this, my dear listeners. You were created with inherent wealth, okay? As an individual, you were created with inherent wealth. Profound, unshakable, undeniable wealth. No heartbreak, no harsh word from a parent, no failed relationship can take that from you. Unless you let it. Unless you really let it. Now, the most powerful relationship you will ever have is the one with yourself. Get that right and watch everything else transform. Today, just now, look in the mirror and say, I'm good enough. Right? I'm good enough. I'm worth of love. Okay? I'm work in progress, because we are all in work in progress. And that is perfectly okay. That is perfectly okay. So, and say it until you mean it, okay? So look at yourself in the mirror, say it until you mean it, and then build from that place, okay? Build yourself from that place. So this has been Mind Matters, and I am your host, Marco Chiavelli, and I will say it every week and mean it every time. Your mind matters. Your heart matters. You matters. Well, until next time, I'm going to leave you in a capable hand of Tate France, coming up with Realm of the Historic. So take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And Namibia, keep thinking deeply. You know, keep loving boldly and keep growing. Until next time, it's a goodbye for now.